Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is executive producer Richard Hart and associate director Cal Bonner to talk about the release of the Netflix film of Paul Connolly's book, Big Boys Don't Cry. Paul was a guest on Talk Radio Europe a few years ago now talking about the book, and now it's been made into a hit Netflix series. Welcome to the show, Richard and Cal. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. Nice to be here. Oh, it's nice to be with have you both on the show. So let's start with you, Richard, then, as the producer. How does something like this turn into a Netflix show, go from a book to a TV show?
Through a lot of work, to be honest with you. quite a few years of planning, some changes, and it was a long journey. It started in 2017.
Wow.
The start of the journey.
Amazing. So how did you come across the story? Did you read the book? Did you know Paul?
I read his first book and met Paul, and we hit it off straight away. We had no plans of doing a film. We were chatting about other things, to be fair. And someone wanted to do a film on him. And he just brought it up in a conversation, and I said it sounded quite interesting. Let's see where this goes. And we'd done a short film back in 2017 just to see whether it was viable, whether the team was good enough to do a film. And we'd done a short film which finished in 2017, and 2018 was the year we started Big Boys Don't Cry. After rewriting his book and trying to find some new material that we got from Paul, things that he'd tucked away in his head that he didn't want to, that race was risen to the surface. He didn't want to talk. It was stuff that he'd hidden for so many years, to be fair. Mm. So it was like quite a difficult time because we was trying to work out. There's so many sides to Paul's story. It's such a fascinating story and quite unique. And obviously, there's a lot of people that have gone through this, but Paul's story was, you know, he had a lot to his story. So it was just trying to find the best parts to use for a film.
Yeah.
Because you can only show so much, a little part of his life story in a film.
Yeah, definitely. And for people who don't know his story, for people who haven't read the book, can you just kind of summarise what happened to him?
Yeah, well, Paul grew up in a children's home that was run by a paedophile ring. Quite a tough upbringing. He joined the school when he was 7 years old. Fortunately for him, he was a little bit older for these paedophiles and predators, but he became bullied and abused and like physically abused, and it created a kind of a monster out of him. And it did with all the other children that they were looking after, that they just, you know, these children suffered greatly from in the hands of these evil people. But Paul became a violent character. But when I met him, you could see there was a kind Paul. He's a lovely person. He was just put in the wrong place and sadly given up by his mother to this children's home, which was dreadfully run, and it was run by Tower Hamlets. It's a dreadful story, but he made a life for himself afterwards.
Yeah, amazing. And amazing to turn his life around after going through such trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a resilient guy. He's incredible, you know, what he's gone through, and to come out the other end from something like this. Sadly, not many people did come out the other end from his dorm. Six of his eight friends in his dormitory committed suicide. So it's quite a sad story.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with a story like this, as the producer, how do you know whether it's going to work on screen? You know, there's lots of amazing books out there, whether they're fiction or non-fiction, that would be difficult for one reason or another, or maybe wouldn't work bringing it to the screen. Why do you think this story has worked?
Why did it work? This actual story hit me. It got to me. I had the most amazing upbringing. So it was so far removed from my upbringing. But I have a partner that also had a terrible upbringing, and it kind of not quite the same as what Paul had, but you have similarities in there. And what I found was, when you have a bad upbringing, it affects you when you're later in life. But what made this, it just drew me to this story. I mean, taking in mind, this is the first film I've ever made. This is the first film I've ever produced. So it is kind of an incredible story to come out the other end and be a Netflix sensation. We hit number three in the UK charts. We hit it in the number three in Ireland. We hit number seven in Spain. In France. Number seven in France. And I believe it's coming over to you in Spain. I'm not sure if you've got it now or you're getting it any time.
Yes, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yes. Oh, it's great news there. That's really fantastic.
I mean, I think what it has is hit home. It's quite a powerful story. And, it's been a long journey for me, because the film got delivered to me after being made back in 2019, commercially unviable. And this is why I brought Cal with me, because Cal done the most amazing job changing revisualizing our film is what she done. She done the most incredible job. We knew there was, I was trying to sell the film in 2019, and I was coming up against people telling me things weren't quite right. So I knew we had something there, but I knew it wasn't quite right. And it took, because I didn't have any experience in film, I spent a year getting this film right, because with a film, you've only got one chance. As soon as you put it out there and it's not quite right, it wouldn't have had the same impact that it had today. Mm. And that's where Cal came into this. And she's done the most incredible job, because I was meeting up with some people that were so skilled, people in 20th Century Fox that worked on Star Wars. They knew what was wrong with the movie, but they couldn't tell me how to fix it. And I needed a fixer to fix this movie. I needed a script writer. I needed someone who had that skill set. And I don't think there's many people out there that can do what Cal done.
Yeah.
And it was just an incredible, it was a difficult year, let me tell you, because I had a film that I knew was commercially unviable. I knew we had to get this right. And I knew I only had one chance with the film. And that's probably where I went from being an exec producer to a producer and getting involved in getting this film right, because I knew I had something that could be really, really great, which it turned out to be, and it's been a real success, or it could have been a big disaster. So it's, you know, for me, it's been a long, long journey, you know, starting in 2018 and only recently in December 2022, we hit number three on Netflix, which is quite remarkable for a film like this.
Definitely.
But the film's so powerful and so it hits a lot of people, and it wakes a lot of people up that are blind to what went on years ago. Mm. And I certainly was someone who was blind to what went on years ago. Some of the stories my wife tells me just blows me away, that how families or parents or carers can be so evil in these sort of situations with young, vulnerable people. I'm so proud of what we've done. I'm so proud of what Cal brought to the table, because it was incredible what she'd done. You know, we had a 2-hour film originally, but we now narrowed it down to 1 hour 30 minutes, and it's a completely different sort of look, and it's been done so well that I think that's why it's had such an incredible reaction with people.
Well, let's have a chat with Cal. Let's say hello to Cal, the fixer.
The fixer, yes.
That sounds a bit ominous, actually.
So, Cal, tell us what you did then when you met Richard and saw the film as it was.
Well, it was obvious that it was an extraordinary story and a very special story. For me, I was an abandoned baby myself. So it was very interesting when this came along. But for me, my life turned out in the exact opposite direction from Paul Connolly's. So it was amazing that this kind of fell into my hands, really. So when I watched the original footage, I knew that Paul's story was lost and wasn't standing out as much as it should have. The emotions weren't there. And so that's what I decided to do, was to redo the storyline initially, following the Paul's book, and then the opposite way round, really, for how a film is made, because, of course, everybody knows you have a script first and then you make a film from there, whereas we had the film first and then a new script and then the final version of the film, which has been very successful.
So what's your background? I assume you've done things like this before.
Yeah, well, not quite like this. I mean, this Richard's film is very rare, actually. And it was strange because I'd just read a story about Midnight Cowboy and how that was, I mean, we all know what a great success that was and how that was completely not just edited, completely deconstructed and then built back up again to the film that you see today. Mm. So that was done by a guy, an editor called Jim Clark, and I was really impressed with that. And I thought, well, would I be able to do it? And eventually I did. It wasn't easy to do, but I think the end result was fairly exceptional, really, under the circumstances.
Mm. And the interesting thing is, with the story that you're telling and the content to the story that you're telling, you've managed to do it without it being particularly graphic, because that you could be telling this story and people could be constantly thinking, oh gosh, I can't watch this, it's just too much, because obviously it's a lot of what happened in that home, St Leonard's Children Home in Essex, was absolutely shocking. So to be able to tell that story in such a powerful way without there being a lot of graphic imagery is very clever.
Well, thank you. And I'm kind of anti very graphic anything in cinema. I think the imagination of the audience should be encouraged in, you know, whatever genre they're watching. In this particular film, you're quite right. I think it was really important that it wasn't graphic. And if you notice, I think you think you see more than you actually do in the film. But it was very, very important that didn't overtake the message of what the film was trying to say. And it was quite important that, as well, that people realised that these children that we read about in the newspaper or see on news programmes, you know, after court cases, they become adults. They're amongst us everywhere, around us everywhere. And I think that was really to get on target with that to show what these children become. And of course, most of these children don't reach adulthood. As Richard was saying, you know, six children from the eight that Paul shared with didn't reach adulthood, and that was very much in the forefront of my mind as well, to get across in the film, as well as the horrific abuse that these children suffered.
Mm. And how is Paul now, Richard? What's he up to?
Yeah, he's good. He's so excited about how the film's done. He's pleased how it all came across. He's inundated with messages constantly. I mean, it's incredible. As soon as we got that success of Netflix, his phone's just been ringing off the hook. You know, it's been fantastic, the response. He's in good spirits. He's working hard. He does keep fit, and he helps people with scoliosis. He's quite a clever guy with his hands. He's almost like a healer. He's gone like full circle where he heals people for traumas to their body, whereas he's kind of he's been given a kind of gift. He's in a good place at the moment, which is nice. It's a very, very difficult upbringing he had to get by. So you still see some of this come back, but he's in really good spirits at the moment, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's quite damaging what happens when you're a youngster, and it affects people throughout their lives.
Definitely.
It's so difficult to get through this. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing to hear that he's come out the other side and is helping other people now. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, but it's been great. I mean, the messages is incredible. I mean, even someone like myself has been receiving just an incredible amount of messages. We run a site, The Big Boys Don't Cry, on Instagram, which has been just incredible. You just get so much pleasure reading what people write about this, because you do know you do affect a lot of people, and it's a very difficult story, but it's woke a lot of people up that didn't understand these sort of traumas that people went through. So it's incredible what's happened. And, you know, the film is quite extremely powerful, but, you know, you can only put a little bit into the film. The book is, it will give you Paul's full story. You know, so it's there is a lot in the book that's will give you the whole of Paul's kind of story. But the film is incredible, what the response we've had from it.
Yeah.
And we hope that the film offers some hope as well to people.
Yep.
You know, when they see how Paul, you know, eventually rounded his life and, you know, became a father and, you know, became successful and was able to you know, to get to the place where he is now. I think, you know, that's quite relevant as well, that although it's a harrowing subject to deal with, that there is some hope there. You know, there really is.
Yeah, no, that's a great message to end on. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Big Boys Don't Cry, and it's available on our website in the bookshop section, tre.radio. And, of course, they can now watch the film on Netflix, Big Boys Don't Cry. We've been speaking to Associate Director Cal Bonner and Executive Producer Richard Hart. Thank you both so much for joining us. Really lovely to chat with you both.
Lovely. Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.